He's pulled the shirt on, scored the goals. Andy Campbell on the Red. This is the Red.
It is that time again, but it seems to be that time ahead of a long weekend with plenty of football. Football returns. Andy Campbell, former Borough superstar, man with no number on his back, all that kind of stuff, mate. How happy are you to see domestic football return?
Yeah, this week's been, it's been horrific, hasn't it? You know, I think international football's not great when you're a follower of a championship team, because you just want to play, you know. None of your players really are playing at the levels that you're watching. And
yep.
And to be fair, the two England games have both been let down anyway, so it wasn't anything to get excited about this week.
Well, we might touch on them. Then yeah. Again, we might not. Depends on the listener.
Yeah.
If we get enough interaction calls, messages, all that kind of stuff, then we don't have to talk England. So it's entirely up to you. Yes, it's all yours. But let's get into it then. So where do we start? It's a while ago since Borough actually took the field. Yeah. But we went into the international weekend, the international break, unbeaten in four.
Yeah.
Which is a decent upturn in form, although the performances probably haven't matched what you'd expect from a run like that.
Yeah, listen, I think if everybody had offered us the points return that we got from the four games, obviously three wins and a draw against Blackburn, I think that probably the damp squid return of the Blackburn Rovers game was the issue, you know. Mm. After three really good results, and then to pull in a negative performance and a sluggish performance against a poor side, and a side who's fighting for the life, because you look at every game we've got coming up at the minute, we're playing against a side who's fighting for something. Southampton are fighting for the top of the league, to try and hang on to the top three, and Sheffield Wednesday are fighting down the bottom of the league. So if every Middlesbrough fan think it's going to be an easy game at the weekend, it's not. And on Monday, Bankole and Sheffield Wednesday come to town here. If they don't think they're going to sit and try and frustrate us and hit us on the break, then you know, I tell you, that's going to happen straight away. So we just need to be ready for it. Understand that we're going to have a lot of the ball. We're probably going to get frustrated. We're probably going to get a little bit mad with certain people and certain ways that the game's going. But it's just modern day football at the minute. And listen, every team scrapping for every point. You're expecting a player that the best possible way for them, really.
And we'll come on to the Wednesday game, because we've got to talk Southampton before that, because I'm boring. I like to do it, you know, traditionally, yeah, chronologically and all that sort of stuff. But that Sheffield Wednesday team, I know they've had two defeats on the bounce, but prior to that, they put a run together, three straight wins.
Yeah, they turned things around, you know. I think when teams lose a manager or get rid of a manager and they change things around, it has a positive impact. And I think for Sheffield Wednesday, it's given them an opportunity to stay in this division, I think, which was the message that they needed to send out. I think Southampton will be such a difficult game. We'll be set up the way that we've done in previous big games, the Leicesters, for example, and try and hit them on the break, because they were notoriously at the start of the season the team who scores loads of goals. Mm. I mean, the Adam Armstrong up front, you know, they've got some other good players who can damage you from wide, from midfield. They've still got Premier League players in defence and throughout the team, so it'll be a very dangerous one. But again, we should be going in with confidence, because we're unbeaten in the last four.
Get your comments in. We'd like to have them on Facebook Live. You can stick the comments down. We'll be getting to them very soon. Absolutely. You can also call, and you can WhatsApp as well. WhatsApp calls, WhatsApp messages, as well as normal phone calls. 0330 043 2002. That's 0330 043 2002. Come on, talk to the Borough legend that is Andy Campbell. He'd love to hear from you. There is a comment straight in, mate. It comes from, it's a WhatsApp message, so I've just got to go up there and see where it comes in from. From Ryan. Ryan, good to have you with us. It's a first time message through to the station. He says, I'd love to hear Andy's thoughts on his time at Bradford Park Avenue. I'm listening from Bradford, obviously.
Fantastic, yeah. My time at Bradford Park Avenue was interesting.
And by the way, before you get into that, I loved going to referee at Bradford Park Avenue when I was coming through the Unibond League.
Yeah.
I absolutely adored Park Avenue. The crowds were hilarious.
It was a good time for me personally. I think it was a time in my life where my professional days had come to an end. I couldn't train every day because of health and fitness reasons. And one thing I couldn't keep up with, Bradford Park Avenue played all the midweek home games on a Monday. So I'd play on a Saturday, I'd like to socialise on the weekend, and then I'd play on a Monday as my midweek game, and then I'd be shot to pieces for the rest of the week. So it'd be really a real difficult fitness time and challenge for my body. But no, I loved the lads. John Deasy, I still keep in touch with now. I mean, John was a good is a good man, good guy. Brought me there, and obviously Lee Sinnott. And obviously his son Jordan died a few years back, so I've still kept in touch with Lee as well. So I kept in touch with those kind of guys because they were proper genuine football people. And some of the players as well, we had a huge budget in terms of, we had some good footballers as well, you know what I mean? We were getting paid quite good money, so we were quite successful. So still keep in touch with a lot of those guys, and it was a really good time. It was
decent crowds in, from what I
remember. We had some big games, playoff finals, playoff semi-finals, you know, so we did really well. We probably underachieved in terms of where we should have got, and where we ended up, and it's such a shame to see them where they are now. The ground's still there, still the same, but obviously now they've got a 4G pitch, because I played there when the girls played there, when we played Bradford City, so it's pitch is nicer, because it was always a bit threadbare. But no, it's nice. It was always nice, a nice place to go. I travelled in every Monday, Wednesday, Saturday, so it was a long trip for me personally, for Middlesbrough every time. But no, it was I really enjoyed my time.
Yeah, wasn't it Park Avenue, or isn't it Park Avenue, where John Helm, the TV commentator, is linked to? Do you remember John? Was John around there?
Yeah, he was. I don't know. I think there's a lot of people who have a lot of history. Bradford Park Avenue has a big history. Mm. You know, like you drive through Bradford itself, you've got Valley Parade, you've got had Bradford Bulls at the time.
Yeah,
rugby were massive at the time. I know they've gone. I think they've gone bankrupt, or they've just gone in liquidation or whatever, like quite a long time ago, and Bradford Park Avenue as well. So, you know what I mean, in that area it was very sport orientated with big clubs and things, so we had a good following, home and away. It was a good time in my life.
And it was interesting for me, because that's where I've been collecting in my referee decades certain grounds and certain I was going to say quips, lines of abuse to the match official. So the one from Bradford Park Avenue that sticks in my mind most is Clothhead. There was a guy who used to sit at the front of that big stand.
Never got that.
And I was on the line before I got into the middle as a referee. And all he used to shout all game was, "Come on, Clothhead!" That's all I used to get.
Must have known you. the good thing about the Bradford Park Avenue stadium, anyone who's been there, obviously Ryan's obviously a follower, had obviously a running track around it, so you're always that little bit further away, so people seem to shout things a little bit louder at you, so you'd always get the message. It wasn't just whispers, you couldn't hear everything, but when you hear it, you certainly heard it.
Well, it was better than Workington Town, where somebody threatened to burn my car because they knew where it was parked. It was the one marked referee.
In the referee's car park.
Well done. Yeah, indeed. A couple of comments coming through. Let's get them on. Rise first up, as he normally is. Hey, Andy Campbell and Dave Roberts and Mike. Oh, yeah, Mike's coming. Michael Mulhern, the head coach of the Borough Ladies. So we'll have a listen to him very soon.
I thought you were talking about this.
Not Mike, good one. Hey, Andy Campbell's got a sense of humour. Should be on the radio with that sense of humour like that. Rye says, over to Norwich for me tomorrow. Stu Golly says, evening lads, nice to see Andy played pub league after his pro career. Ooh, Ryan will not be happy. He'll not be happy.
Listen, there's a lot of very good football clubs in non-league football. We've got a lot in the area. We've got a lot of success, you know, and I think I found it a good platform, especially for my managerial career. It was good to have a go. I got the boots back on. I shouldn't have, but I did. Had to. And then still kept them on it. At lower level as well for Stokesley and things. So
could do them on now, mate. I'm telling you.
Don't think the body works. The head does. Head works, body doesn't.
Matt stopped a long time ago. So let's go back to Southampton then and get your comments in, please. Facebook Live, you can. Also via the following number, 0330 043 2002, whether it's a phone call, whether it's a WhatsApp message, or whether it's a WhatsApp call, you can give us a shout and you can have a chat to the legend that has worn the shirt, pulled the boots on, and banged the goals in. Southampton. I mean, they've been cast adrift by the top three. Mm. Is there any chance that they'll be looking at that and thinking, automatic promotion's gone, and the Borough could capitalise on that?
I put them in the same predicament as probably we were in last year. Mm. When we went to Luton and we rested a couple of big players, with a couple of their players who've gone on international duty, they rest those players on Saturday and play the Monday, give them an extra couple of days to recover, which I think could possibly happen. So I think it could be a good time to play them.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they're all the full of good footballers. You know what I mean? They're a top-end championship side and obviously a bottom-end Premier League team, in my opinion. So obviously still got some Premier League big hitters in their squad. it's never a good time to play anybody. Listen, anyone can beat anybody. You know, we could go there. We could go there, smashing the 3-0. We could also go there and get heavily beaten.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like Sunderland did as well. I think they were drawing and then they got walloped, didn't they? 4-2 or 5-3. So we're going into the game confident. We probably could have done without the international break. Players could have had a good opportunity to get themselves right fitness wise and get themselves in good body shape, ready for the big push for the rest of the season. And I don't mean that in terms of getting to the playoffs. I just mean in terms of finishing the season off, because wherever we finish, we're going to finish, because whatever you hear from anybody else, the league tables don't lie, and we deserve to be where we are
You
know what I mean? It's a really, really tough division. You know what I mean? Those teams who get relegated, they're the worst teams out of 46 games, and those teams who end up in the playoffs. And you look at Leicester. We said Leicester City won the league probably 12 weeks ago.
Yeah, I'd give it a bit.
You know what I mean? And rightly so.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, they've took the foot off the pedal. They've lacked form. Other teams have gone there with probably a free hit and gone, we'll give it a go, like we did, and beat them twice, and we took points off them. And and it's just given other teams that little chance to catch them up. And now they're looking over the shoulder, and can footballers handle the pressure? You know, can a new manager who hasn't really had pressure, can he handle the pressure? Because he's got managers underneath him who look really fresh and look hungry and look like they've got nothing to lose, and he looks like he's under a little bit of pressure. So it's the same as Leicester and same as Southampton. I put them in the same category, that even though they're in different stages of their season. But yeah, let's go there. I nearly called it the Dell there. Let's go to St Mary's.
I've been calling you that all week.
Let's go to the Dell then. Go there and give it a go. Got some good memories at the Dell, because I remember, if any Middlesbrough fan remembers, Alan Boxey's worldie.
Yeah.
That was just, you know what I mean, a good time.
Yeah.
Gaz's free kick.
Yeah.
I watched all that from the stand.
And it's where Big Mal, well, so did I was in the press box.
I was sitting next to Glenn Huddle, actually.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
England manager at the time.
I was sitting next to Big Mal.
Yeah, I wasn't happy about that, by the way.
What, sitting next to Glenn Huddle?
No, I wanted to be on the pitch.
Oh, right, okay. I thought it was Glenn Huddle you weren't happy to be sitting next to.
No, Glenn was a nice guy.
He wasn't wearing a turquoise shell suit. Or anything.
He was England manager at the time. And John Gorman. So I had to give him the utmost respect.
Oh, good man. But the Dell was where Big Mal let himself down in a big way when we were doing commentary on Century Radio. But he got away with that one because the boss wasn't listening that weekend.
Ah, brilliant! Yeah,
but he used a word that I've never heard used ever on radio. And there's been a few slip ups on radio, but he used one that we'd never used. So, but that's another story, mate. I'm just looking at Southampton's record, though. They're 9 points adrift of Leicester in second spot. Yes, they have a game in hand, so they could reduce that to 6. However, their goal difference is way, way inferior.
Yeah.
So they're effectively 10, or could be 7 if they win the game in hand, adrift. That's a huge gap at this start of the season, at this point of the season, isn't it?
No, massive. And I think this is where, for teams like Leicester and Southampton and the teams down the bottom, this weekend is huge. Because those teams who can get 6 out of 6... I've got a real opportunity to close that gap or put pressure on somebody else or really have a good go. You know, I think it's teams who win one, lose one, draw two,
and
don't win any. You know what I mean? It just becomes a bit of a dead rub of the season, potentially, or you get drawn into something which you didn't want to get drawn into a week ago. You know, it's a real busy weekend.
And I'm just having a look at the weekend. I mean, the freight train that is Leeds United, they've got the evening kickoff, so they're going to know exactly what everybody else has done, so perhaps an opportunity for them. They're away to Watford. Ipswich, who are still in there, they're only a point adrift. Ipswich, they're at Blackburn Rovers, and Leicester City are at Bristol City, so the top three are all away from home.
Yeah, and against sides who've upset a lot of people this season, who've done okay in games, let themselves down in games. So I think it'll be extremely intriguing. But all Middlesbrough can do is just finish the season as strong as they can, and individually, I mean players wise, finish it the way that they want to finish it. If that's to earn brownie points with a manager and be in his thoughts for next season, if that's to earn new contracts for next season, if that's to put themselves in a shop window to go somewhere else. Listen, everyone's got their own agendas, open or hidden, you know. And I think football is that intriguing that we need next season to come, so we can have a real good go and not start the way that we did and see where it ends. Because I think if it wasn't for the start of the season we probably would be looking at hanging on in there towards something, because that's what's killed us. We look back at the Sheffield Wednesday games, which probably turned the corner, but that was a big 2 points. The Rotherham games, big 5-6 points that we haven't got.
And the first 7 games of the season, and one point coming out of them.
So it's extremely disappointed. But then we go and beat Leicester twice. It's just madness, pure madness.
It is, absolutely. A couple of comments coming in. Ian says, my stepdad Stephen Holbrook played for Gateshead at Bradford Park Avenue back in his day. Happy memories. Rye did confirm he's talking about that mic, not that mic. Ian, good evening everyone watching. Hope you're well, having a great day. That's nice of you, mate. Leslie says, the main man's on.
Leslie Quartz.
Open brackets, me. Close brackets, yeah.
Does he mean me, as in me?
No, he's on about
him. Himself.
Yeah, he's on about him.
Yeah, he's a dreamer.
Yeah, and then he followed up saying, he said that the league tables don't lie, but a state told me they did lie. Who's a state? I wonder if that's auto correction or something. I don't know. Sorry, mate. Don't get that one. Maybe there's a bit of auto correction. Woodgate. He's corrected Woodgate. Himself.
Woodgate did state that league tables lie.
Yeah,
unfortunately, didn't he? When he was manager, when he had a bit of a press conference meltdown. Call it.
Remember it. Remember it. Do you get placement prize money in the Championship, like the Premiership? If yes. That is important for the end of the season. I think you do, but I don't know what it is.
It's not going to break the bank.
No, it's not.
You know, so I think if we finish up three places above what we are, it won't get us a player.
Mm.
It won't pay the wages. You know, I think we need to make sure that we're quite shrewd in terms of who we bring in. We look for the right targets, and we have a good start. We've got a good squad now, but fitness wise, we've been let down in terms of how many people got injured, and that's not a criticism. At one point, we had 10, 12 big first team players out. We didn't have a centre forward fit. It had a massive impact on what we were doing. And then that's without the start as well. So, you know what I mean? Who knows if those two things hadn't have been how they were? Could have been very different.
Could have been. We can get your comments through. They're still coming in on Facebook Live. You can get them in on WhatsApp. You can get your calls in if you want, 0330-043-2002. That's the all-important number to speak to the legend that is Andy Campbell. Ian, again, good win for Gateshead this week. Hartlepool United's new sponsors are 7-Up.
Massive win.
Other soft drinks are available.
Massive win.
7-1.
Yeah, I seen Kev Phillips.
Where did that come from?
Kev came out and did an interview. Listen, he's done great since he's gone in.
Yeah.
But you don't, as Hartlepool manager, lose 7-1 in a game, firstly. You don't lose 7-1 in a game against a local rival. And I'm not being disrespectful to Gateshead at all, but they're a lesser, inferior side to Hartlepool. So, you know what I mean? Hartlepool players should be embarrassed, a little bit ashamed of what happened, and they need to make sure that they go back in at the weekend and make sure that doesn't happen again.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen again.
I had to laugh at Higgy. He was up there doing some commentary.
I see the photo.
Did you see the photo?
I see the photo.
I don't know how many goals he missed. But
hopefully all 7.
He was right against the side of the stand and couldn't see the goal.
But it wasn't just the only person, because somebody put a photo on somebody else and it looked like it must have been sat next to him. It was a scout, a friend of mine, and this madness that you can be put in an area where you can't see the goal.
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
Crazy, crazy. Get your comments in. We're going to be talking Borough, obviously tackling Sheffield Wednesday as well. We want your thoughts, your comments, Facebook Live, WhatsApp, wherever it happens to be. Come on. It's your show, 0330-043-2002. I know it's got Andy's name on, but he wants your comments. 0330-043-2002. And we will be hearing from the Borough Women's head coach, Michael Mulhern, about the girls, how things are going on at the club, and obviously that task of getting the Borough Women's team to start climbing the football pyramid. We'll do that next, right here on The Red.
Forget the Mackems. Forget the Mags. Smoggies and Proud. This is The
Red. It is Andy Campbell. He's live across Teesside on The Red, on DAB Radio, on smart speakers, online, and apps as well. You get everywhere, mate. And we've even got somebody listening to us in Bradford.
I love it.
I'm sure that's a good thing.
Yeah, it has to be.
Yeah, yeah, it has to be. Right, Middlesbrough Women. You've been there. You've looked after the girls. You did some coaching there. Head coach position.
Yeah, I was head coach, stroke manager, whatever you want to call me.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I'd call myself the manager. It was a real good time. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Enjoyed. I was there for just under 2 years. I'd like to say I had a huge part in the link with what they've got now with the club.
Yeah.
I was part of the initial discussions and towards the middle and towards the end. So I played a huge part in terms of where they are now. I'm proud to say that that they're doing really well now. I don't think they'll get promoted this season just because of if anybody knows the league, and Hull City doing so well, and they've got some easy games, in my opinion, easy games to play.
Borough are top, 2 points clear
of Hull City. Yeah,
Hull City are second, just 2 points behind, but they've got three games in hand on the Borough.
Yeah,
that's why you'd expect Hull City.
Yeah,
to
expect
to
them.
Promoted.
Listen, football's football, and things can change, but hopefully Hull do slip up and Middlesbrough can capitalise, because. The girls, I know a lot of the girls. Some of the girls go still study at my college and play for me as well. So I'd like to see them successful. You know, obviously Mick's doing a great job, and yeah, I just want them to do well. Listen, to women's football's evolving slowly, quickly. You know what I mean?
You've got a daughter playing.
Yeah, Kennedy went through and used to play for Middlesbrough last year and the year before. She's played through quite a lot of her life with Middlesbrough Football Club. So it holds a big part of our family. Family's heart, and my daughter, my middle one, Frankie, plays for Middlesbrough Girls. She travelled all over the country to watch the women play with me, home games and away games. So it's played a huge part, and I always want to do well. Listen, there was no animosity when I left, in terms of I want the club to do well. You know, I probably things could have been handled a little bit differently, in my opinion, of the way I left and stuff. But that was probably from both sides. I could be a stubborn. Person, and like other people can as well.
Never.
Yeah.
But the club's now, you know, the football team is now part of the football club. You know, it's moved in towards.
Yeah, they're under one banner now.
Within Middlesbrough Football Club itself.
Yeah, under one banner, which I think is important, because to get that link, I think for me was personally very important, to get the exposure which girls need. You know, even in the club shop, selling shirts, getting the pictures of the girls, you know what I mean, inspiring girls. We have a huge percentage of women supporters Middlesbrough Football Club, a huge percentage. So if a small percentage of those can go then watch the women, fantastic, gives them more money, or the same pot, whatever, I don't know how that works, but I think it's important for girls to be inspired for the next generation, you know what I mean, if that's the players to play, you know what I mean. My two daughters have played a lot of football, and I've seen numbers grow, I've seen teams grow, the teams I play against, you know what I mean, it's fantastic. So long may that continue, you know what I mean, it needs to continue, because it gives them a platform. You know, we talk about equality and diversity, but I think it's important to give them a platform. And I know there's certain, I'll call them famous, there's certain famous people on social media who are quite negative about women's football, football in particular. I'm not going to give them any exposure on it, because I don't think it's right, but as a father of three girls, who I'm really proud that they're given a platform to play football, and you know what I mean, it's not men's football, it's never going to be men's football, it's never going to be at that level, but there's a level for everybody, because some men don't play at the level that we're talking. Listen, there's a level for everybody.
Some men don't play at the level that women are playing.
Pub league, that's semi-pro, that's a little bit better, that's conference, that's National League, League 2, League 1, you know what I mean. So listen, there's a platform for everybody,
and the Borough's in Tier 4 at the moment. Michael Mulhern is the head coach. Let's hear from him. I mean, I started off by just asking him about his thoughts on the season as a whole, because right now Borough are top, 2 points clear of Hull. We don't expect them to go up, but it's a big turnaround.
I've got to be really pleased. It was a new group, but we have kind of surpassed expectations maybe of everybody else. But we did have in-house, we had targets where we want to be, and we're doing well. We've been top for a couple of months now. Realistically, Hull should win the league because they've got three games in hand, and that's expected. But to actually get through the season so far with one defeat, with only three games to go, it's great. I mean, it's a great platform to build on.
The fact you got three games to go, you're sitting top by 2 points. Was that part of the roadmap, or you know, are you way ahead of where you're expected to be?
We're ahead of it, realistically. There was teams in there who, Hull being one, who kind of put themselves forward to do very well. Durham Sestria being another, who are the reserve team of Super League Durham. And obviously they have some full-time players in there. They're allowed to loan two of their own players, which makes them strong. They were runners-up last year. I think they probably expected to win it this year. And Barnsley. So, and I think Leeds were another one. They kind of put themselves up there. We never said anything. And no one would have expected a great deal from Middlesbrough based on what they'd seen last year. They quickly heard that there was a new project and things had changed and whatnot, so they would have expected something, but probably not as much as we've shown everybody. So we are ahead of schedule. I did target top three, That's what I wanted, but I didn't know if that was realistic. That was just my aims and ambitions and hopes, and that's what the players wanted as well. So yeah, we're ahead of schedule. It's great.
It's going to be tough, isn't it? Because only one team goes up in that division.
Yeah.
And I know Durham Cestri missed out last year when they thought they were really wanting to push to go up. But it was interesting. Mick was telling me he thought they were the better team in the division last year, but Newcastle pipped them on goal difference.
And Newcastle were the best side last year.
Were they?
Yeah, they were far superior. They had players coming down from the Championship. You know, they were paying players, I think, which helps. I know obviously Middlesbrough paying players this year, so that helps. You know, like when you've got a budget and when you can pay players, you can get the better players. So for me, I was expecting Middlesbrough to do well because they've got a budget. Likewise, Newcastle did well last year because they had a big budget. You know, and I think money talks at certain levels.
It does.
And for me, I'm not surprised that Middlesbrough doing well because they're able to get some of the better players in. The Abbey Towers of this world, the Daisy Bird of this world, you know, so yeah.
All right, a couple of comments coming in on Facebook Live, and please get them in. Absolutely, they're more than welcome. Leslie Coates, tell Andy, Saints 2, Borough 2, that's the dream. Stu Gawley in Canada, hiya Stu. He says, Higgy's view reminded him of the ZDS final at Wembley. He was sat behind a big beam supporting the roof, so he never got to see much of it.
So which wasn't a bad thing, as long as you missed Tony Dorigo's goal.
Oh, God, please don't.
I was behind that goal. I told Tony one in my old podcast, and I told Tony how much he broke my heart off air, and told him that we weren't going to discuss much about it.
Yeah,
and he brought it up.
Did he?
Yeah, he did. Too late.
You're telling me you're not going to discuss it.
He did. Yeah. Well, I tried to like focus away from it, but yeah, it was mainly the Leeds. How successful it was at Leeds and some of the players, but he threw Chelsea at me.
That's not fair. No, that's not fair. That's below the belt. And Leslie says, no chance. Andy could never be stubborn. Never ever.
No, never, no.
Okay.
Exactly.
Let's see how stubborn you are about Sheffield Wednesday then. So we know Borough have got Southampton. It's a huge it's a huge task.
Just on that 2-2, would 2-2 be a good result? Borough fans, I think I'd take a draw, but then it puts pressure in three days later.
Do you know the bizarre thing is we're capable of going there and getting something?
100%.
Because of our away record, it's our 100%. Home form that's been shot.
For me, if you go on the first game and you go all out for it, whatever you pick up in the second game, you can pick up. But if you don't win the first game, the second game is huge pressure.
Yeah,
huge pressure. And notoriously, over there at the Riverside, we don't handle pressure great. So we need to make sure that we probably do pick a decent result. But down at Southampton.
Yeah. Well, let's see. I mean, it could be 2-2. I'd take it now. If you give me it now, I'd say don't kick off. We'll just accept it.
Yeah.
Then Sheffield Wednesday at home. I mean, how big a potential banana skin is it?
It's the same as Rotherham. It's the same as Plymouth. It's the same as Bristol City for me. It's the same as the games, Blackburn. It's the same as the games that I'm naming that we not beat anybody in. You know, that we need to make sure that whatever we do well on Friday, that we make sure that we start bright, because tiredness is going to kick in the longer that game goes on, because you've got two games in a short space of time, so tiredness will kick in.
But that'll be the same for both.
It will be, but if they've got something to hang on to, you'll get that extra little bit of energy. Whereas if we're trying to knock on the door all the time, or we're trailing, you know, it's tiredness and mental tiredness and fatigue and injuries and supporters getting frustrated. You know, there's all these kind of things. I think I'd prefer to be at home tomorrow and be away on Monday.
Really?
I think so.
You think there'd be a difference?
I don't know. I know they'll probably fly to Southampton and fly back, so it won't have an impact. But travelling can have an impact. I don't think it will in Middlesbrough, because obviously I do believe they will fly. I think it'd be stupid if they didn't. But it wouldn't surprise me. Nothing would anymore.
No comment. I'll get myself into trouble.
Nothing would anymore.
So, obviously Southampton we're talking about. Sheffield Wednesday. But Sheffield Wednesday are a team in the relegation zone.
Yeah,
they did manage to get a couple of wins under the belt, but they've gone back to the old form of, or the old results of loss. Yeah. But Borough at home, and
I think we got payback as well.
I scratched my head so many times this season. Why do we perform so badly at home?
I don't know. We got payback as well, because when we were down there for the first 45 minutes was probably the worst I've ever seen a Middlesbrough team play. Engel was found out. Quite dramatically, I thought they were excellent in the first half, but then second half, whatever happened, whatever the team talk was, we made a few changes. For me, they looked negative changes because we're defensive minded, but Jones came on as well, and we changed the game, and we should have won the game. Got an equaliser in it, and it changed our form and fortune a little bit. But at home against a side in the bottom three, we've got to put that record to bed. We have to beat a team in the bottom three, and we've got to do it on Monday. We have to. And I'm not saying it in terms of getting in the playoffs. I'm not saying that whatsoever.
They've got.
I think mentally, you've got to change that kind of thing. Middlesbrough Football Club need the Riverside to be a fortress. In order to be successful next year, we need to be doing things like we did last season. You know, because I think we do well away for whatever reason. We seem to, because we have a good following. We play with no fear. We seem to pick good results away from home because we seem to have a different way of playing, which is brilliant. But we also need to have that fortress and that positive front foot football at home at the Riverside and blow teams away, because I've named the Plymouth, Bristol City, so many times this season we've started so sluggish, so slow, and we give ourselves a mountain to climb. We're 2-0 down, 1-0 down, and you can't give any team a lead in this league, especially half decent teams.
Have the playoffs gone?
Mathematically, no.
Sorry, mate.
My heart, my head. Listen, you're messing with me mentally now. Yes.
They've gone.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hopefully, in 4 weeks' time, someone comes back and says, you don't know what you're talking about, and I told you so. But yes, they've gone.
Well, Leslie Coates will do that.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, he'll do it tonight.
Yeah, of course he will.
He'll do it tonight.
Stu Gawley's been back on. He said, at Wembley, I stood all game to the left of the goal. So he gave up his seat because he couldn't see anything. Yeah, it's an interesting one. And
it's not like Middlesbrough playing with your emotions. You know what I mean? And I think, listen, it's Middlesbrough Football Club all over to go and get 6 points over a bank all the weekend. And then we're talking again about another thing because it keeps on dragging it out, you know what I mean? But then it's Middlesbrough Football Club all over, they get no points over at Easter weekend, and then we start looking over our shoulder at relegation again. You know, it's just madness. The whole league's just crazy.
I mean, the thing that concerns me is we saw what impact taking our foot off the gas at the end of last season had.
Yeah.
You know, we got knocked out by Coventry in the playoffs, quite comfortably, to be fair to Coventry, and then we started the season badly. So with the handful of games we've got left, is it more a case of let's get into the habit of winning?
Yep.
Blood a few of the youngsters and see what they're going to be like, the ones you've got hopes in, and prepare for next season, or do you have to take those handful of games as competitive and see how, you know, do the possible, the best you can?
Yeah, I think you've got to do the second one. I think you've got to go and just give it the best you can. I think there's players who are playing for futures. I think they'll know that. I think the manager will be half thinking of next season and half thinking which holes he needs to fill and which players he wants to fill them in and which players that he can build teams around, inspiring the team, and who he trusts and who he doesn't potentially trust, which I think is really important. I think he's probably learnt more this season than he did last season, about his players, about himself, about probably his staff. And next season he needs the best possible start, and that's in the off season. He needs to be backed, 100% needs backing. But he needs to do his business early. So when
needs,
I talked last
needs
year,
needs a bit of money spending, doesn't
it? Yeah, 100%. Yeah. When I talked last year with the playoffs, it kills you in terms of your preparation for next season, because it kills you 3 weeks in terms of who you're going to look for. Because if you got the playoff final, you need Premier League players, because you might need a Premiership. You know what I mean? Like Coventry and Luton didn't plan.
Yeah.
Until after the game, and by then it's too late. You're missing out on a lot of players, where if you don't get in the playoffs, you can plan straight away, you can get your groundwork done, you can already hit those targets that you're trying to hit now, and really do your groundwork and be successful. But for me, we did our work in the market too late, after the first game, into the second game, and then you're blooding them at home against QPR, when for me I don't think we needed to, and you lose that game, and then all of a sudden it's an uphill task, and we, you know what I mean, the players didn't look ready mentally, physically, in terms of coming from different countries and different leagues, and that transition in terms of in coming to a brand new club was a really hard work for them.
Last comment comes in from Leslie Court. He says, if we beat the Saints and Chef Wed, we could be back, you know, among the top six.
You've just said draw 2-2. Make your mind up. So are we going to beat them, or are we drawing 2-2? What is it? Can't be both. You know what I mean? Listen, I take a draw. If we win the next seven games, we'll get in the playoffs. But I'm a realist. Yeah. It ain't happening.
If we beat Southampton and we beat Sheffield Wednesday, mate, I'll do a Bernie.
Yeah,
I'll
happening.
Break in to bins.
It ain't happening.
To put it in the shop window.
Yeah, it ain't happening. I just think look at the teams we've got to play. You know what I mean? We've just named the two over the bank holiday weekend who were both fighting for different lives in terms of where they need to be in the in the Football League. We've got Leeds United coming up. You know what I mean? And rightly or wrongly, games getting changed for TV purposes to give... It gives different teams a different advantage. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that Leeds are getting an advantage from that, but you said it earlier on about late kickoffs. It gives you an... It tells you exactly what you need to do. And I don't like that, because for me, when teams are going for it, they all kick off at the same time. They all play at the same time. They all finish at the same time, if possible. There's always something. There's always something on things.
There's always a dog ring on the pitch,
always,
mate.
Always.
So your referee pulls a fetlock. Always. Whatever they've sorted.
Always. You know what you used to do.
Well, Bruce used to make sure that they heavily watered the Essen Park pitch because he wanted the Borough Place to have an
advantage. Get your ducks in the row.
So it's time for predictions, mate, and then we're done. So what are you going to go for? This is the moment where everybody can see who's the pro and who isn't, because I'll be miles wrong.
Yeah. Right. I'm going to be perfectly honest. We're going to get 3 points this weekend. I think Southampton are going to beat us 2-1. And then we're going to beat Sheffield Wednesday 3-1. I can't say he's keeping a clean sheet all weekend. I'll be perfectly honest. I think there's going to be goals galore. We will score. I don't believe Southampton will keep a clean sheet against us. I just think they've got too much firepower going forward, in my opinion. I think they'll score goals. But I think we'll beat Sheffield Wednesday at home quite comfortably.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go Southampton 2-0, sadly. Yeah, I don't like backing against the Borough, but I just can't see us doing it. Foster's out. Riley's out. That could be a nasty one. But we'll beat Sheffield Wednesday.
Yeah,
I'm going 1-0.
Yeah, good. And I just think we need a bit of positivity. It's not us being negative. You know what I mean? I could sit here and say we're going to get 6 points. We're going to get the playoffs. We're going to do that. And you're always there to be shot at. You know, listen, Middlesbrough win, I'm delighted. I don't want it to lose.
Yep.
I just think Southampton are in that transition. They're in that position that we were in a little bit last season, where we're looking up and thinking, right, we've still got a chance. Leicester lose, Leeds lose, Ipswich lose, they're in with a chance. And you know what I mean? They're running out of games. If Southampton don't get 6 points this weekend, their promotion hopes has gone.
Yeah.
100% gone.
Yeah, so it's a massive weekend.
They've got a big weekend. Yeah. But then Leicester have got a big weekend, because if they don't win any games and Southampton win two and Ipswich win two and Leeds win two, then they're going to be potentially third, fourth, you know what I mean, over the next few weeks. So I just think it's really important that that you get something over this weekend. If that's 3 points, if that's 4 points, if that's six, brilliant. But you're smiling. Leslie's on again.
He is, yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah, I can just tell, because normally he texts me and he's on one here.
Yeah, two true is the dream. But I was just saying that if we win both, it's back on. Hopefully we win. It's needed. But the point is, other teams will win as well, won't they, around us? So it's not necessarily.
And I think that's the thing, you know, that there's always a team who will pick up six over this weekend. If that's Hull, if that's Norwich, you know what I mean. If we pick four this weekend and teams pick six, we've not gone anywhere. We're still 2 points behind Norwich, still 2 points behind Hull. So it's we can't affect what other teams do. We could still win every game and not get in the playoffs.
Yeah,
that's the realistic like part of it. He still didn't answer the question though. I heard a lot of ifs.
He's come back again and said, look, 2-2, you're both wrong. or a draw of some sort. Oh, he's edging his bets now. Not so sure about 2-2. As for Stu Gawley, he said, that'll be two eclipses this year, Dave. The joke is me and Vince Window, one of them. And I'm off to America next week. I'm going to go and see the eclipse. So you've got Daz to put up with next week.
No, no bother.
Okay, well, that's us, done and dusted.
I can blame Daz, can't I?
Yeah. And you can tell Daz how badly wrong I was with my predictions, because I always am.
Man makes I've matched you on it, really. Match the game, match the results, just not there. Match the the outcomes.
I mean, you make the prediction of, you know, there won't be a clean sheet in the two games. So I've gone for two clean sheets.
2-0-0s.
Southampton. Well, I went 2-0 Southampton, 1-0 Borough, so we'll see. Matey, have a good time.
Yeah.
And you too. Have a great Easter.
Safe journey.
Yeah, thank you. And I'll see you in two shows time.
Fantastic.
All the best, mate.
Thanks, mate. Pride, passion, and ours. This is the